of hanging round. Ain't no use, I put you down. There's no love left in my heart for you. Ain't no use for you to cry. Ain't no use, this is goodbye. You've been wrong so many times. Now I'm through.
All right. It should be our national anthem as voters. Ain't no use. Don't even think about it. We're done. That, of course, is the great Dakota Staton with Ain't No Use. It's from her 1957 album, The Late Late Show, which was also one of her great hits. This is Lead Stories. I'm your true. And Ain't No Use, in my mind, conjures up where we are with this whole debacle that Donald Trump and the Democratic Party, and between the two, we're screwed. I don't get it. Life is going on. Trump is doing his thing, unimpeded. People might be mad and, you know, they call him all kinds of stuff, but nobody so far has stepped forward in his face. We have four women of color. Not one or two or three, but four women of color who appear to be fighting on their own. Or more accurately, who appear to be on their own fighting. And we have not yet seen any men representing their constituencies or representing their communities step forward and say, you are not going to treat our woman this way. And this is elemental. We don't have to get any more complicated than this. Four women of color, members of Congress, that is to say they were elected, whatever people want to feel about that, including this demented president, they are elected members of Congress, who, by the way, are openly trying to engage in this question of impeachment of the president. They happen to be the new members of Congress, all four of them. We have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from the Bronx / Queens, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, and Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts. I want to get to the basics here. I don't know any of these women personally. They came to my attention as a result of being elected And at least there was hope that this would bring a breath of fresh air to politics generally, but especially politics impacting communities of color in the United States. I was and have been critical, however, of at least two. I have been critical of Ilhan Omar because it seemed as if she was a bit confused. It seemed there for a moment that she thought she was elected to be a Muslim. It seemed as if she forgot she already was, and therefore had this special point to prove about matters affecting the Muslim community. That's not her job. And she actually set herself up for attack, in my view. I made it very clear. By confining herself and making it very clear that this was a special mission of hers. I talked about the fact that she had put herself in a box and that she needed to expand her horizons. She's not certainly the only member of Congress who is Muslim. There are several others. And they don't wear it on their shoulders any more than Christian members of Congress or Buddhist members of Congress. But that she really appeared not to understand the terrain and that it would cost her dearly. That was my critique. Turns out I was right on point. I also was critical of Rashida Tlaib, who, on the night of her victory, was most profane and totally, in my view, out of bounds, vowing to let's get that mother effer. That's not the language I expect from a congresswoman, especially with children around. But that's what she said. And I upbraided her for it. You don't have to sink so low as to think that your personal conduct is a kind of afterthought. You're a member of Congress. Behave like it. Since then, she has kind of cleaned up her act. I see again she's still vowing to be part of the mob that should surround Trump and impeach the MFer. She'll learn. But in any event, these are the four women. They have a left-leaning political history, but they are under the Democratic Party's canopy. And even though Trump has singled them out for special treatment, meaning that he would make a spectacle of their destruction, because that's really what he's doing now, destroying them. That is not nearly as sad to me as the other point, which is I don't see anybody surrounding these women. I see no activism surrounding them, protecting them. I see nobody stepping forward. And standing with them, I say, let's see what's important here. They are in a fight. But there's nothing to suggest, whether from the party or from the communities, that they are in a fight. And their number one adversary, there are two, but the number one adversary is Donald Trump. And the second adversary is none other than Nancy Pelosi, who allegedly heads up this party. And I find it absolutely inexcusable that these women are left as newly elected members of Congress to fend for themselves, to fashion some kind of protection for themselves. And everybody's watching this situation like, you know, the way you watch a horse race, you have binoculars, so you don't have to be up close. And you're following the race through your binoculars. What the hell is wrong with us? This is a declaration of war. And we understand the language of politics by now, although Trump is confining his attack to four individuals. This is not an individual situation. He's attacking black and brown communities specifically. He's taking their leadership out. And he's winning at it. Why? Because there is nobody protecting them. It's disgraceful. Look, I come from a large family that includes seven brothers and a sister. There are nine of us. I cannot imagine something terrible happening to me and none of my brothers or my sisters would step forward and say, we're covering you. And people talk all the time about how revolutionary they are. Where is the Revolutionary Guard? Where are all the people who are so attuned to politics, especially in the age of Trump, which is pure gangsterism? These four women are left to fend for themselves. When the job of the community is to step forward and protect them, of grassroots organizations being very loud and committed to protecting them. The black churches, all these groups that materialize in other scenarios are suddenly quiet, which means we have accepted the outcome, and the outcome is all four are going to be taken out. The four seats recently gained would have been lost by planned attrition. It doesn't help that the leader of the Democratic Party is a woman, allegedly, Nancy Pelosi. Where is the statement of disgust at the president's behavior? Where is the leadership in which all the members of the Democratic Party see the writing on the wall that through these four women, as they go, so go the rest, if you don't fall in line? It doesn't matter whether you like them or don't like them. It doesn't matter whether you agree or don't agree with some of their positions. That is immaterial. The big point is they are not to be treated this way. And the entire community, African American, Latino, progressive whites, should be mobilized on this one principle that they are not to be treated this way. And certainly not by this egregious president. But we're not having it. Instead, there is a stunning silence. And I'm going to be very frank about it. Why is there a silence? Because our constituencies are cowards. That's why there's a silence. All kinds of hell should be raised at this very moment. Imagine that. Four members of Congress, all of them women of color. They are the targets of a racist system that has plans and that was so brazen, so sure that they could get away with this. They did it so everybody can see. All these men in the Democratic Party have nothing to say. Other women in the party, nothing to say. The progressives, nothing to say. This is the greatest assault in recent memory that we could think of. And the first kind of assault of a president leading the charge to nullify their election to office because they are part of a group of people, a growing group, discussing the impeachment of the president. But interestingly, everybody's quiet. It's disgusting. That is the greater crime. That in the face of a full-on attack, everybody has retreated. Excuse me. There's no question that they're under attack. There's no question that the intention is to take them out of office by force. There's no question that they were singled out for a level of action we have never seen. But there's a lot about Trump we have never seen. And you mean to tell me not one group, not one, has stepped forward in the breach and said, this is not going to happen? It means we are useless. It means that we have no power and we don't intend to have power. We can't handle power. All that talk of revolutionary talk, leftist talk, what, look at what the result is. They're slowly trying to kill these people and make public examples of them. You attack the President of the United States correctly because of his atrocious policies, and the punishment is expect we will yank you out of office. Even if it means we have to kill you, we'll take it. And people are just nonchalant. Well, it's politics and sometimes it gets a little rough. This is the president has declared war on these women and the constituencies that they represent. Who brings the president to account for that? Who brings him to task for that from the community? All these great political minds that we have, what are these thoughts that you have that you don't express? We have to ask some serious questions. Since when did we become such cowards? Since when do we shirk from our responsibility? Since when do we leave people who are representing communities? In some cases, arguably, for the first real time. And you leave them twisting in the wind. They also have to fashion some kind of defense that should be the job of their constituents and people who understand what is happening. All this space and time given to a president who clearly is, I talked about it early. You can't say I didn't point it out. Early, even before the election, this man has some serious mental problems, and his whole administration is towing that line, mimicking his actions and attitudes. I am disgusted at the black leadership right now, the Latino leadership, the women's leadership. How dare you believe that you are entitled to leadership in these communities and you can't stand up, not only for what is right, but you stand up against what is wrong. You're running and hiding as if that is a solution. And you still are okay leaving these women to the vagaries of a demented president and his administration. And you call yourself progressive. You call yourself revolutionary. These are the signs of cowardice and betrayal. And people who don't have the guts simply to stand on principle. It's disgusting to me. And whatever it is your personal opinion is of any of the members of Congress that we're talking about today, it is irrelevant given who the enemy is. They are in a bad situation. And they've been caught in a bad situation because there is no defense. I'm so angry about it. There is no defense. I talked a couple of months ago in Manhattan. I gave a talk and I said the only defense we have is a strong community or a strengthened community. And that's where we are now. Trump is saying, I can run over your ramparts anytime I wish. You have no defense. You have nothing that could protect you from me. I could do what I want to you and your community at any time. There's nothing that you have that would stand in my way. And we said, we agree. We give up. We're not even going to fight. We save us the indignity of losing. You can come and do whatever you want. You don't have to respect our elected officials who have we have put in Congress to represent us, not you. This is very serious, folks. It is not just a small matter of differences, political differences. Trump has served notice, and there has been no answer to his actions that he's in charge fully and completely. He has nothing to fear. Our communities are not together. Our communities are beyond fragmented. Our communities are destroyed. In any other community, this would have been considered a major event, disturbing, and there would be credible opposition to it. Nothing from our communities. So the question is, why are these people bothering to represent any community at all? Why are they attempting to turn things around? In whose behalf do you think they're working? It is an atrocity that is occurring. And it's not a matter for discussion and debate. There's to be no debate about this. The only thing that is important right now is action. And we've lost the opportunity to take the kind of action that would send the proper message, which is we are protecting our representatives. They deserve that. But instead, we have this cowardly, it's despicable. The fellow members of Congress are footseeing around. They don't know how to organize themselves and say, we're not having this. They don't know how to press Nancy Pelosi's buttons and tell her a thing or two. This is not a plantation system, the one that you are expecting to be running as you have been running it for so many years. Times have changed. And we are not going to abandon four women we just put in office. And the people are satisfied with their choice. Okay, so that's the first half of it. But it will take the rest of the hour if we get into the phone calls and so forth. So let's do that and come to my second subject tomorrow. I'm saying, in the end, we will have no excuses at all for the condition in our communities because we are the very ones who are failing to answer the call. And this is a relatively easy call. A demented president is attacking your representative who you elected. The demented president needs to know a thing or two. You are not going to put up with this crap. Gone are the days when people could come into our communities and do any damn thing they want to do. And it doesn't have anything to do with whether you agree or whether you like any representative. It's the principle of the thing. This is the essence, we are told, of democratic rule. Your representatives are to be guaranteed, at the very least, safety. When they go to work, they should not have to deal with the daily pressure of a president acting like some kind of a gangster. Usurping their authority. We'll take a break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888, right after this.
The best. Time has come
you must pay, ain't no more for you to say. Take your love and go away. When you leave, please don't return. Ain't no use.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.fm, and we're talking about this situation that we find ourselves in, and in my view, it's a national crisis, because the President of the United States has decided that he is going to persecute four women of color who have dared to presume that being elected entitles them to, in fact, work in the interests of their constituencies. And that entails working toward his impeachment. He is sending a message instead that he is going to destroy them. And they are out there defenseless. People haven't surrounded them. The people haven't given assurance that they are safe. And they will together face down this gangster administration. That's the problem that we're talking about today at 888-874-4888. Khalil from South Carolina, you start us off today.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
Hope you're well today.
I'm hanging in. Thank you.
Well, I had to step away for a minute, but I don't know if you addressed this issue. It has to do with the four congresswomen. But it seems as if when Ms. Ocasio-Cortez went to the concentration camps or detention center, however one wants to label it, and she was shouted at in a very nasty fashion by some of the guards, federal employees, you know, Customs and Border Patrol people, who seemed to have a sadistic streak. And we later found out they're kind of like racist police, and that with their social media posting. And apparently, did you already talk about this?
No.
Okay, well, because there were they had sexualized her performing an act on the president that was passed around. But and this leads into the protection. Now these are federal employees, I would think, unless they're subcontracted out, but. The fact that someone, like you're saying, the protection, why, in other words, even in private, but absolutely in public, that has to be denounced. Because we see that the supporters of the president, they would use that logic, the white supremacists that support the president, they support his right to be foul and nasty to other people. But when they're called out on it, apparently, you know, we don't have free speech. But yeah, these women are out there unprotected. I just don't understand that. And these people have to be in fear of their lives. You know, number one, they're minority women. I'm sorry, please go ahead.
No, they still are. I'm saying, let's make it a point. These are people who are elected from these constituencies. And if it comes to it, we will surround them and protect them. If the government can't do it, and if none other than the president is leading the charge against them, then what? Do you just say, sit and wait? No. We have to see some kind of activity going on from their communities. Mm-hmm. All communities, truly. but certainly from the constituencies that they have been elected to represent.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I'm wondering, where is the fruit of Islam? I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, we know where they are, but we're not seeing them. That's the point of my talk.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop being so mysterious and let people know we are prepared. We're not joking. We will not allow you to treat our representatives or anybody else for that matter that way. These are elected members of Congress. And they're under the threat of death. They have crazy people calling them. And we have a demented president stoking the fire.
Yes. 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 Which
so,
is why he
so
shouldn't be there in the first place.
Something has to be organized quick. Quick.
But, and his followers are prone to violence. These are the same folks who have a love affair with guns. And they are living vicariously through him. If you notice the language, people who support this regime will often say, "That's my president." You know,
right.
It almost has connotations of idolatry.
So then, who in Congress is in charge of fixing it?
Well, it would seem that that's actually an infraction of the law by the president to attack duly elected members of Congress in that way.
Yeah,
who
is going to fix
it?
And this is the point I'm making. If the so-called law seems unable to address the situation and assure the safety of these four women as they go about their tasks, their daily tasks of representing their constituencies, then we have to find another way. What other way is that going to be? We can't just sit here and wait until something dramatic happens and then comes all the, you know, the flowers and the thoughts and prayers. Who needs it?
Well, the sergeant at arms is in charge of security and physically maintaining law and order when it has to do with Congress.
Yes, but you have to be in Congress.
Right. This is out on the street. But you see, we can't trust the attorney general. He's already made it clear what his mission is. He's not interested.
But why aren't people stepping forward?
Well, that's a good question. It should start from their home constituency, from their home areas. There should be grassroots support. I mean, they're the ones who voted these people in. You know, this has nothing to do with the Electoral College. This has to do with direct one person, one vote.
And a crazy president. Don't forget that. He's leading the charge.
I can't forget it. I can't forget it. Because Dr. Lee has released another video. It was on France 4 recently. And she's actually moved beyond just the president now. She's talking about the followers. Have a collective mental illness, which I don't doubt, because you present people with facts and their eyes just glaze over and they say, "Well, I like them." That's what they say. It's like, okay, so you like racism and mental illness. Okay.
You know. I'm saying one thing and I'm asking the question openly. Four duly elected members of Congress, all of them women of color, elected for the first time, cannot do their jobs because the President of the United States has made it untenable for them to just go about their business doing their work. He has ignited a race war and tacitly and not so tacitly encouraging people to attack them.
Yes.
To laugh at them, to deride them, and to interfere with their business of government. What are we going to do?
I'm not sure if the Secret Service has any purview over that. I think they mostly deal with the executive branch. But there has to be something. Something has to happen.
But we can't stand by and just say, well, I hope things get better. It doesn't get better this way. We are a larger constituency. Mm-hmm. And we, too, have an obligation to move in the interest of the protection of these four women. We can't sit by and just simply say, well, you know how politics works. No, this is not politics works.
No, this is
not
how
politics works.
This is beyond politics. And they are scared. And I don't blame them for being, they're out there in the cold by themselves, basically.
Yes, and it reflects poorly on the African American and Latino and Muslim communities. Because they know the women are out there by themselves. And they're leaving them out there by themselves. Thanks, Khalil, for getting us started today. Pat from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello. How you doing, Miss
Yes,
Lee?
Pat. How you doing?
Am I on the air? I'm fine, and yourself?
Yes.
Listening to your segment and your statements have been so appropriate. I was thinking the same thing, that these women were standing there all alone. I was looking, where was the rest of the representatives from the Black caucus? I'm looking and saying, why didn't they galvanize and support these women? I'm looking also, and I'm going to be very specific because I live in a specific community and all politics is local. And I'm looking at some of the Black and Latinos, Congress people in the community that represents my area. I have no problem calling names, but I'm looking at the Jeffries and the Clarks to say that they came from allegedly progressive communities and progressive families. They should have been the first ones at the forefront, okay? I say that. I have no problem calling people out, but I'm also calling out, and I think that your segment can be an apparatus to push forward foots on the ground action to protect these women. And the sister from the Bronx, it's as local as it gets here in the New York region. The Latinos, you like to be gang members? Why don't you get out there, the familiars and the Latin kings and queens and the individual, the vice lords? Get out there and protect that sister. I'll volunteer to protect her because it shouldn't be her out there on a branch by herself waiting for somebody like Trump underlings to take a clear shot at her and the rest of those women. The National Organization of White Women, they're not going to say a word. But you know what? It's not their fight. So unless we and our own communities galvanize and support the Muslim community, like you said, the Blacks and Latinos get together and say, you know what? We need to do this and have a pushback for anybody who might come out there and want to, how you say, take them out.
Because she and the rest of the women, they're all battling. You can't get any higher in stature in the United States than the president of the United States. That's who's coming after them.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is not an ordinary fight.
Is this a program? Am I saying that word right? I know you know exactly what I'm trying to say. Am I saying it correctly, Ms. Lee?
The program?
This is Trump doing what he does.
But he's doing He's doing what he does because he's being allowed to do what he does. He understands there's no major pushback from these communities. He doesn't have to fear that. He knows exactly that he's got the power. And there is no indication from the community that they disagree.
You know what? You are 100% correct. Something of this magnitude took place some time ago when Bill Clinton made some statement about Sister Soldier and how she, the backlash came to her. So we've been through this. We don't need to keep going through this. We can't. We have to, like you said, we got to assemble, put foot on the ground, organize. But I don't think we're going to wait for Nancy Pelosi to lead us, if you know what I mean.
No. Oh, I've talked about that many times.
You are 100% right. I listen to your show regularly, and you have said it. You've been saying it from the beginning. She ain't the one. Matter of fact, truth be told, she might be siding with Trump in our,
But this is very serious, and we have to start a national outcry about it, and we have to act. These people's lives are in danger, and all they're trying to do is to do the people's work. That's all they're trying to do. Now, if you have a problem and you disagree with a position on this or their position on that, that is not a major problem. What is the major problem is when you look at it in 2019, there are still elected officials whose a simple thing that it should be as after being elected by the people can't do their jobs and their lives are on the line. And we are accepting it. And I'm saying that that is unacceptable. Thanks so much.
I agree with you 100. Take it easy. Thank you.
Ma'at, you're on the air?
I'm coming. Yes, this is really something because who he is, and I heard David K. Johnson refer to him as deranged, and he's someone who's investigated and written books about Trump. So I think demented and deranged has it. But what is this being translated to? You're absolutely right, Utrice, around the violence, the potential violence against these women. Where would he... No members of the Black Caucus stood up there with those four women as they tried to respond and deal with it. And the fact that this is being transferred into violence is all around us. We can't keep up. I don't know the details, but somebody slashed a young man's throat because his rap music, the man didn't like
it.
Did you hear about that one?
Yeah, it's okay. As he said, it was too loud.
Yeah, whatever. But, and then I just heard, I think it was earlier today, this morning, where Elder Sister Sadie Roberts Joseph, who was a longtime activist in Baton Rouge, founded an African American museum, and a lot of work around Juneteenth and trying to make it a holiday, et cetera, et cetera. She was found in the trunk of her car on Friday, murdered. You see, so I think that we're kind of missing something in terms of where we are. I'd also like to recommend Robert Evans, and I wasn't sure what it was at first because I heard it on WOR a couple months ago during COVID, so I thought it might have been on the right-wing side. But he's a progressive, and he does a podcast called It Could Happen Here. He's been to all around the world, you know.
But, you know, they are looking for something that we that's not our issue.
No, no. What he's talking about is a potential second civil war in this podcast.
Yeah,
it
well, they have to
here.
Do that because he has been found out to be fraudulent on quite a few things that he had engaged in. And they always come into the black community to preach these kinds of things. What needs to happen is if he could find out for everybody, where are the black ministers? Where are the ministers of all faiths? Where are they on this question? You know, deal with that.
Can I ask you a question?
But we're running out of time, just so you know.
Okay, are you talking about Robert Evans being fraudulent, or are you talking about Trump?
No, Roberts. What's his name?
Robert Evans. Prince. It could happen here, podcast.
No, I don't get into all these kinds of talks, because in the end, they have a different agenda. They use these very provocative topics, but it's for a different purpose. And I'm always skeptical about these people coming in with great topics, but you wonder why it is they have to be prodded and poked into action when the situation warrants it. Okay, so we'll wind down today. Thanks for calling in, Ma'at.
Thank you.
We are in trouble, is what I'm saying. When we can't defend, and I talk again, and we're going back to my talk on community, reclaiming and reconstructing and re-owning our community. That's what we have to do. And in a situation like this, where you have four women, and I think we can accept that they were not sent by Russia. I think we can accept that. They've been elected from their various constituencies to represent the people in Congress. The treatment that they're being accorded now, we have acts of omission and acts of commission. Commission means Donald Trump and his ilk. And acts of omission are the people in Congress itself and in various spheres of influence who have decided to be silent. They don't see anything wrong here. And I'm telling you, it couldn't be more dangerous than at this very time in our nation's history. Thanks for listening. Connect again tomorrow and talk some more. I didn't get to everything I wanted to talk to today, but it's always important to include the listeners' responses. I've always been dedicated to that. So we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Of hanging round ain't no use. I put you down. There's no love left in my heart.